pitching the idea that wants to do the $700 million and he wants to do it with no oversight. Is that the stupidest thing you've ever heard?
A billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money. It sounds to me like you have a fairly active social life. Is that a safe characterization?
That's a safe bet, yeah. That is a safe
bet. Do you get to wear a rowing glove?
Only if you want to be made fun of the entire season.
Only if you're a wuss. Welcome to episode 58 of Countless Screaming Argonauts. I'm T-Fab P, the Fabulous Penguin.
I'm Max.
And we are on episode 58 tonight for the week of September 25th.
And we are produced once again by 8 Beer Sampler Productions for internet consumption.
Right. September 25th, 1 month to our first anniversary.
And we are not domestic partners.
I hope you buy me a nice present, Max.
Yeah, I'll get you a present. Me.
Oh, God. I've had so many of those already. Will I be able to return
gayer it? Gayer and gayer.
All right, well, let's get into the podcast then. Enough of this levity.
All right.
So I can think of no better way to bring the comedy to a halt than by talking about the campaign.
Well, there's a lot to talk about.
God,
at this moment, the Republican candidate has suspended his campaign, whatever that means,
right,
and says he's not going to go to the first debate tomorrow night unless there's a deal or they're substantially close to a deal.
Right.
The Democratic candidate, to be honest with you, I saw a brief clip of him talking. He seemed serious, but I don't remember anything that he said. We should remind people, because this might actually be something somebody listens to at a point in the future. This week, the further edge, I was going to say that the greatest economic disaster in the history of the country has happened, but it's kind of been building over some time.
Right.
Here's my first question to you. Well, let me preface it by saying that Henry Paulson, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, came out this week and said, we have a major financial crisis on our hands. And the Republicans hate to use the word crisis, and he used it. And if the government doesn't bail out AIG specifically, I think he said, American International Group Insurance Company, to the tune of $700 billion, this is after we've guaranteed Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, we've let Lehman Brothers fall, and done some backroom work to help out a few other banks, including Merrill Lynch, then we're headed off a cliff, for lack of the precise quote. So my first question to you is, do you believe him?
Yeah, I do. I don't have any trouble believing him at all. I think that, I tend not to listen to a whole lot about what John McCain says because I don't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, he used the term, the economy will crater. And I just thought that the image of that is like so spectacular. You could not have come up with a better word to describe that situation. That it's going to hit the ground and it's going to splatter into a billion little tiny pieces. So I agree. But my problem with the whole thing is that the reason that we're in this mess is because there was no oversight, and this Paulson guy is basically pitching the idea that wants to do the $700 million and he wants to do it with no oversight, which
right.
is like it is that the stupidest thing you've ever heard?
Well, I was shocked when I heard that, and we have to say that at this point in history, and I mean the history of this week, that's off the table. From everything I can gather, what with going to work and trying to
sure,
be able to pay my
but can,
mortgage,
I can't believe that he would say that that's what he wanted to do, and that
well,
there
I
were
shocked.
People who believed. I mean, there were politicians who were all in favor of it, and
said,
and to
yes,
me, that's how stupid.
Well, having and I don't blame him for this because he's only been in his office for a number of months. Having been in charge of of a disaster to now say, I know how to fix it, and all you got to do is give me a ton of money and leave me alone.
which is what AIG and all those guys, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, that's what they were saying all along. Just give us the money and get off our backs. We'll take care of everything. Right. And we're cratering.
Yeah. Well, and this is the next thing that bothers me is that John Boehner, who is no friend of mine, and Chris Dodd, who was a Democrat, not one that I particularly like a lot, but there he is, both went on TV last Sunday, today's Thursday, and said, we can't tell you what he said, but it scared the bejeebers out of us.
Right.
So if they won't even, they said they didn't dare say it on TV.
Right.
We're talking about basically the economy of the world grinding to a halt, I think.
Right.
A major economic worldwide depression. Now, $700 billion won't cause that. $700 billion is 3% of 1 year's gross domestic product for this.
Do you know that for $700 billion, you could buy every single person in the world a 2-liter bottle of Coke every day for a year? That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. The guy used to say, what was it? A billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money.
Right.
We're talking about $1 trillion, essentially.
Yeah, essentially.
And the irony of, and this is, I think, ironic, of the free market Republicans saying we need the government to take over these businesses or to bail out these businesses is nothing short of socialism. You know, Franklin Roosevelt created the Great Society and saved the American economy and arguably the world. And George Bush, for his whole life, has either argued against or been trying to tear down the New Deal. Did I say Great Society?
Right.
It's the New Deal. And he said it was a socialist effort. A lot of people would disagree with that. But here he is asking, and he finally actually came out and got in front of the issue, like a leader might have, say, about 7 months ago. Here he is saying, please have my federal government run the banking industry for us. If that's not socialism, what is? And it's socialism for the rich, and it's shameful. And I'll tell you what's going to drive this issue and what everything will turn on, the election, the whole deal, and it's irrelevant and it's incredibly important politically. Executive compensation.
You're right. But you know what? You know what the problem is?
What?
We're doing tomorrow's podcast right now.
All right. You're right.
You know, I mean, this is a big issue, and you know, we're going to get Manhattan Ant-Man on tomorrow, and we're going to talk economy.
Right.
You know, we're not going to be able to solve anything.
I can solve it all right now.
Uh-huh.
Give me the money.
Give me the $700 billion.
No. I want it all. I want $15
trillion.
I'll dole it out. You'll get some. I want 0.1% of what they're giving AIG.
Right.
That's not so much to ask, is it?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Like,
you know,
I said,
honestly, seriously, I would be very, very happy with some tax credits to insulate my house.
Uh-huh. I'd be happy to look for a little tax credit to buy some oil.
Right.
You know?
That's all I'm asking. You know, bail me out.
That's all I want. Just a couple gallons of...
The boat is sinking here.
Couple of gallons of crude.
That's it. So what? Anyway, we're going to have you're right. That I got off on a tangent.
It's you think? Hard,
yeah, it's hard to separate the politics from the economics right now.
Well, of course.
So
we're going to spend a whole episode just talking economics with Manhattan.
We got an economics one.
You think he's got a thought or two on the subject?
I think he might have an opinion.
Okay.
All right. So we got a new segment coming up.
Something that we've been planning to do for a while. We talked about it, but just haven't gotten around to it because we're so busy talking about the economy. And the segment basically is a few minutes with Booth Boy. For our regular listeners, they know, but, you know, Booth Boy has left the nest and he's now feathering a bed in Ithaca College.
Right.
And enjoying himself tremendously.
Somewhere deep in the heart of upstate New York.
Right. So we're going to call and check in with him and see how life in the Well, compared to North Brookfield, it's the big city, Ithaca.
That's pretty funny.
That is pretty weird. So why don't we patch him in?
We are patching him in right now.
Hello?
Welcome, Booth Boy.
Hey, how are you?
We are okay. I speak in the editorial we.
The editorial we.
I think it was Ben Franklin once said, the only people that are allowed to use the editorial we are kings, editors, and people with tapeworms.
And people with what?
Tapeworms.
Wow. That Ben Franklin. He was a real stand-up comedian.
You know, Ben Franklin was the hippest dude in 1776. I guarantee you that.
You kind of get the impression that a lot of people like to hang out in bars with him, you know?
I think so. And I, for one, am still modeling his hair design.
Oh, man.
Welcome, Booth Boy.
Thank you. Thank you.
How's college going?
Well, so far so good.
So far so good?
I'm only about a month in, so it's tough to say overall, I guess.
Uh-huh. You know, it sounds to me like you have a fairly active social life, considering you never lived in that town and you've only been there for, you know, a month. Is that a safe characterization?
That's a safe bet, yeah. That is a safe bet.
My God.
Going right for the throat early on, huh?
I'm like at a loss for words.
That's really?
Like
that saying, was that bad?
No, it's but I mean, it's just like saying, you know, so Ocean, I hear you got a little water in you, you know? The socialization of Booth Boy.
What the heck is, I meant to ask you what, if you'd been to a specific building up there, and now I can't remember what it is. Listen, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to not tell anyone how beautiful upstate New York is.
It's a little late for that. There's some pictures on my Facebook of the view out my window.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
No, it's a terribly ugly state, and we don't want anyone else coming in here. It's horrible. It's wretched. There's all sorts of smog and bad lighting.
That's what it is. Bad lighting. So, listen, I want to ask you about your college experience.
All right.
Okay, so far. You've been there for a whole month.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I know that you spent the summer in a sweat thinking about what it was going to be like and stuff. So the question I want to ask you is what has happened so far that's exactly like you thought it was going to be? And what has happened so far in college that is completely different than you possibly expected?
Well, completely different is a much easier question, because I was not expecting my classes to be as easy as they've been so far.
Ouch.
Oh, so you must be getting like A's and everything. Is that?
Uh-oh.
everything but one.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just got a 96 back on the last test that I had.
Right.
And I was expecting to have to work a lot harder to that. Because I mean, frankly, I didn't study for a minute for that test.
Uh huh.
Well, it's because you're taking those easy ass courses. Take a fucking science.
Yeah. How's that? How's that calculus going?
Yeah. Well, I dropped calculus. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, I didn't need it for my major anyway, so there's no reason to take it.
Right. Oh yeah. Right. Right. So that's different. You were expecting that it was going
to
be a lot
harder. I was expecting to have to work a little bit harder, just because, I mean, I was just expecting to have to work harder. Yeah. And, I mean, frankly, I haven't really worked that hard besides maybe one or two nights that I've been here.
Yeah.
Yeah. 101s. Are you taking a lot of 101s?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to be. It's all 101s right now. Right.
If I remember correctly, Millie Jupiter used to say that she didn't start to study until she was in school for about 6 months or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
She told me once that she never opened a book in high school, and she didn't have to start in college until she was in her second semester.
Well, I mean, once I start getting into some you know, exams and stuff this semester, I'm sure I'll be studying more. It's just right now. I mean, right now I just had a World of Business test. That was about it. So
right. Well, I can't wait till we get that report card that's got all the five A's on it, so I can put it up on my board. yeah. you know, and say, look at that.
I wouldn't say 5 A's, but I'll be up at a 3.5, 3.25.
And that's a critical number for you, right?
Yeah, 3.25 is.
Yeah. And but you got to stop taking theory of American beer.
Yeah, no more of that. No more of that. How to make your own vodka in the bathtub kind of class.
So listen, that one.
Right? What is what's exactly like you thought it was going to be?
That's a tough question because you know pretty much everything is what I thought it was going to be. Uh-huh. I mean, I can understand how big a transition it is for a lot of
shy
high school
people?
Seniors. Right. But I mean, I have a lot of older friends. I visited 4, 5, 6 other, you know, older friends at schools. I've spent nights at colleges. So I know what it's like, you know, I've been there, I've done that.
Yeah.
So a lot of that, you know, most college freshmen aren't really expecting, don't know what to expect. I think I've pretty much had that covered.
Well,
Well, that's real interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And, sports experience with crew is going well. Your hands are okay.
My hands are pretty beaten up, actually.
They're pretty
rough and pink right now.
Do you get to wear a rowing glove?
Only if you want to be made fun of the entire season.
if you're a wuss.
You got to go with the calluses, huh?
Yeah, there's one varsity rower that wears them, and it's only because he's got, you know, like, he's got real issues with his hands, so.
Yeah. So are you rowing a boat that has how many people in it?
We row eights. We row all eights.
So you got one oar going left.
Yes. I'm a starboard, rather, so.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're on the politically right end of the spectrum. Do you ever
except that they go backwards, so technically he's on
exactly.
the left.
That's what I was gonna say. It's tough to say right and left because the boats are backwards. So
right,
who's right, left?
Do you ever like all of the starboard guys just quit for a while and see if you can get the other guys to drive you in a circle?
Well, basically, we're on the canal.
Circles are bad on the canal.
Well, no, I mean, no, actually exactly the opposite. When you get to the end of the canal, you have to turn around.
Yeah.
So you've got the starboard, what it's called. It's starboards to row, ports to back. And everybody on the port side flips their oar the other way and does what's called a backing stroke. And all of the starboards do a regular rowing stroke and it literally spins the boat in a circle. So you go back the other way.
Can you snap that puppy around pretty tight?
You can. You can pretty much, when you've got them both going, you can pretty much turn on a dime.
That's very interesting.
I mean, the difference is, you know, sometimes you don't want to because, I mean, you have to stay to the right in the canal. So if you get to the end of the canal, you don't want to do a complete circle because then you'd be in the same place. Yeah. You actually want to loop around to the opposite side.
So there's rules of the road in the canal, huh?
Oh, big time, yeah.
You know, some of the better restaurants are up there at the inlet.
Yeah, there's one that's right across the street from our boathouse. We get a lot of watchful eyes.
Oh, well, I'm not talking about dates. I'm talking about dinner. We each need what we need to sustain us, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And if he needs girls, then he needs girls, right?
Well, it's good to be social, I guess.
Yes, it is.
It's good to be young and foolish is what it is. You know?
Yeah, I agree. And if I had the choice between being old and foolish and young and foolish, I would take young and foolish every time.
I don't know anybody who wouldn't.
As a matter of fact, if I had the choice between old and wise and young and foolish?
I'd still take young and foolish. Because wouldn't it be fun just to get wise again?
Yeah. Yeah. There is something to be said, Booth Boy, for actual wisdom. There are things that you see in the light of years that you go, uh-huh, I get that. But the truth is that people who are older would rather be younger.
Yeah. I'm holding on as long as I can.
Yeah, well, don't get old.
Nothing wrong with being a fifth-year senior.
Hey, it took me 13 years to get my degree. So.
Well, listen, it was great talking to you. Thanks for doing this segment. We'll check back with you periodically. I want to. I want to hear about all your stuff.
Hopefully, you can catch me sober.
All right. be good.
Have a good night. Enjoy the rest of it.
Yep. You too.
Bye bye.
Good night. Dumb, not so dumb. Might as well pick it up. We haven't done this one in a while.
All right.
Okay, I got a couple that you sent to me, and the first one that pops into my mind is gotta be the nudist restaurants.
Yeah,
50 diners sit down, eat and drink naked, served by regular wait staff that are clothed, and then they have once a month a naked comedian comes in and performs.
You know, I gotta think that this makes a huge difference on what gender it is.
Yeah, it might. It might.
I'm having a hard time imagining enjoying looking at a naked man telling jokes.
Okay. I have a hard time believing that I would enjoy looking at a 63-year-old woman, naked woman, eating soup. Make sense would be the 27-year-old waitress delivering a couple of corned beef sandwiches, but she's got her clothes on.
Well, obviously the way to go is to have the naked wait staff and have the people in the restaurant.
Now we're talking. That's like that coffee shop up in Canada. Did you hear about that one?
No, I don't think so.
The women all – it's run by women, and they walk around basically in lingerie.
Yeah.
And it's like outselling every other coffee shop like within a 12-block radius. And people drive out of their way miles to go there.
Sure. I like to look at a nice young woman in her brassiere too. Yeah, what the hell? I mean, I could be self-righteous. I certainly get self-righteous about enough things, but – you know,
right.
A fabulous babe in lingerie is an interesting thing. I'm not sure what else you could say about that. I was surprised that this was actually happening in Manhattan. I don't know why I expected it should have been illegal, but
to go to a restaurant naked.
Well, yeah, that's a question. Where, at what point are you naked? Because you're not allowed to be naked on the street.
Right. I would imagine that it's a little bit more than a coat check room. You know what I mean?
Seriously, they must have a stripping and non-stripping entrance.
You would think, right?
And I don't think that, you know.
Sort of like the porn, not porn section of the airplane.
It's a lot like that. There's some people that I don't want to see taking their clothes off in the doorway of my restaurant.
Well, that's a whole other story.
I think this restaurant failed, right?
Yeah. I wonder why.
Well, I think the other possibility was the chili. I'm one or the other.
Oh, that's a cute one. Because it was chilly? Is that what you said?
Yeah,
the chilly.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about fart jokes, but you're much more subtle than I am.
Either way. Well, on to the next one. And this one, I like this one a lot, and I'll tell you why. It's the one about the woman who risks momentary collapse every time she laughs.
Yeah, it sounded so traditional, so sort of classically feminine from the 1800s. Oh, I'm feeling a little faint.
Lightheaded and to collapse, right? Yeah. Actually, when I first read it, I thought of the women. I mean, I know several women who have said that they pee when they laugh, if they laugh too hard.
I have heard that, yeah.
You know, so that was the first thing I thought of. But the second thing that I thought of, and this is one that Millie Jupiter would love, is have you ever seen the video of the collapsing goats?
No.
There's a YouTube video, and I will post it online for people to see it. And basically, it's these goats that have this neurological disorder. They're sort of like mini goats. They're not huge. They're small, but they will be running in the pen.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they stop stiff legged and fall over.
Wow.
And they lay there for a few seconds, and then they get back up and they start running again. It's the weirdest thing. I don't remember where it is. Millie Jupiter just walked in Pennsylvania somewhere. But that's there's a YouTube video about it, and I will post it because that's what this reminded me of.
This yeah, I'd like to see that.
Laughs so hard that she collapses, right?
I have to tell you my favorite joke now. This reminds me of my favorite joke, and I think I probably told you, but I got to repeat it.
Well, excuse me if I fall out of my chair, okay?
The farmer had a whole bunch of animals, and there was an earthquake, and all of the animals fell over during the earthquake except for the bulls. So when they got back up afterwards, one of the other animals went over to the bull, and he said, "Why didn't you fall over when the ground was shaking?" And the bull said, "We bulls wobble, but we don't fall down."
Oh, man. Oh, Max. If I had known that that was the joke, I would have stopped the recording. And
stop it right there.
Not told you and kind of let it go. Did I ever tell you my true goat story?
I can't wait.
I have a true goat story. A friend of mine lived on Long Island for his entire life. His dad decided that he had had enough of city life, and he moved to a farm in Pennsylvania. And he took
an acre
story. Huge, 250.
Yeah.
Yeah, big farm. He still worked in a machine shop up there. He ran a machine shop, but he liked living on a farm. Well, anyway, make a long story short, they had a barn. His daughters wanted some animals, so he kind of collected from the neighborhood animals that other people didn't want for whatever reason, and he got himself a goat. The goat had medical problems. The vet had actually had to perform some surgery on it, and it had been altered. It wasn't a male and it wasn't a female.
Uh-huh. Okay. It was gelded.
And it was mean and ornery. But it was, you know, it was okay. They liked it and it was all right. So one day he's in the barn and he is fixing a hole in the barn wall and he bends over to put the patch on, and the goat sees him and runs from across the barn full speed, hits him in the butt, knocks him into the wall of the barn and knocks him unconscious. His dad was unconscious on the floor for quite a long time, ended up with a concussion. I always thought that was, you know, if you could have been a fly in the barn, it would have been cool to see this goat running across the barn and then wham.
Well, that's it? That's the story?
That's the story. It's one of my favorites. Well, they have other stories. I mean,
You're not going to tell me that they had rack of lamb the next Sunday?
No, I'm not going to tell you that. But they had a blue-footed duck.
Yeah?
Yeah, it had actually frozen in their pond with its little feet. They went out with a hairdryer to remove it from the pond, and its feet turned blue and stayed that way.
But the duck lived in it.
Oh, yeah, the duck lived in the house. It became a house duck.
Because what could you do after your feet were
frozen? Right, right. They had a house duck and they had a house rabbit.
Well, it sounds like a nature-filled delight. I don't know what this is.
Well, speaking of animals, I'm going to jump on to the next one.
Yeah.
This one's a good one. This is the NASA researchers and the 90 ducks, the 90 rubber duckies.
Missed that one.
Okay.
Go ahead.
NASA, you know, it always bothers me when you find out that, you know, some organization like gets, you know, $7 million to study this or $12 million to study that, you know, kind of stuff. Well, these NASA researchers. Doesn't bother you?
No, because, well, it depends on what they are. But, you know, to study the genetics of chimpanzees or something like that, I'm all for that. That's science. That's okay.
Okay. Well, there's a bunch of NASA researchers who wanted to study where the water from Iceland, from the melting glaciers, is going.
Okay.
And so rather than spending a whole lot of money on great equipment, they went out and bought 90 rubber duckies. And on the side of them, they wrote the word science experiment and reward in three languages and an email address. And they dropped them in holes in the glacier.
Cool.
And now they're waiting for an email that says that they found a duck wherever they would have found it. I found one of your ducks, so they can find out where the ducks travel to.
That's great.
Yeah. What's interesting about it is that the glacier that they dropped it in is the Jacobshaun Glacier in Baffin Bay, which is where they believe the iceberg came that sank the Titanic.
Wow.
So they are hoping that the ducks will set them free, so to speak.
So they think the iceberg came from North America?
Yeah,
And it could go through the Gulf Stream and end up in front of Europe or Africa?
Well,
they don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, somewhere.
That's
there.
Too cool.
Right. Somewhere.
And you could just see, you know, somebody in a cruise liner somewhere going, hey.
What are those yellow things?
Wait, stop. It's a duck.
Okay.
And Captain Stubing's like, fuck that.
I'm not stopping for no ducks.
I ain't stopping for no plastic duck.
All right. Well, in the spirit of wasted money,
yeah.
I got this one about the anxiety detecting machines.
Yeah.
All right. So Homeland Security authorizes the development of this new system for airports.
And you think this is wasted money?
I do, and I'll tell you why. Okay, so
I'm thinking it's cool.
Okay, so the machine is able to detect quickened heart rates, heavy breathing, and rises in skin temperature.
Right.
And so they suspect that that might be signs of a terrorist.
A nervous person about to get on a plane.
Or a nervous person about to get on a plane, which you would see how many in an airport? How many people do you think?
About 50%?
You would think, right?
Or if you put that at the prom, you know, in the middle of June.
Right.
About the same percentage, right?
I would think.
They're not going to get on a plane.
Right. So they also said that it might not only might it point out terrorists and people who are afraid of
flying,
but it also probably would pick up agitation, like if a person's flight is delayed or been canceled.
Yeah.
So this thing's going to be beeping like crazy. It's going to be pulling everybody. They're going to have, like, you know, these lines that are miles long of people who have set off the alarm. Are you upset? Yeah, my flight was canceled. Okay, we'll let you go. Are you upset? Yeah, I'm afraid of flying. Okay, you can go. Are you upset? No, I'm okay. I want to get on the plane. It's a terrorist.
Get the rubber gloves.
Sure, right.
You know, I heard about a study that says that they believe that they can identify to a fingerprint type certainty people's gaits. Okay, you can see someone with a satellite.
Well, you know,
walking.
I like a nice, well maintained picket fence. Yes. So I can, oh, not that kind of gate. Okay.
But what they're now discovering is that the shadow of a person also indicates their gait, and everybody's gait is unique. And therefore, since people's gaits from satellites are relatively more difficult to determine because of the angle, they're going to be able to detect suspected terrorists by the shadow, by the way the shadow walks.
So basically what we're saying is, holy Peter Pan shadow Batman, right?
Yeah. I don't know what Peter Pan shadow means, but yeah, if you're a terrorist and you walk with a limp, you better stay indoors. That's all I'm saying.
I guess. Well, that means I won't be doing no flying.
Well, then again, you're not a terrorist. So, do we need to actually say that out loud?
I hope not, but God knows.
Yes, you have a unique gait and you have a unique shadow. And if they were worried about you, they would be able to find you from a satellite.
Boy, talk about your invasiveness, huh?
Yeah, well, tell me Big Brother isn't everywhere.
Well, absolutely.
So what about, there was something else here that I thought was pretty silly. The best obituary, you want to hit that?
Sure. I this came from the newspaper early in the week, last Monday, as a matter of fact. And basically, what made it stand out for me is that...
As he was the same age as you are.
Well, besides that, is the fact that if I was going to go out, this is the kind of thing that, you know, that I would want...
You're all right with...
Yeah, that I would want to say or have said about me,
yeah.
For sure. So let me just... I'm going to read it because it was definitely worth it. This this gentleman was 53 years old, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jim, who was tired of reading obituaries noting other courageous battles with this or that disease, wanted it known that he lost his battle. It was primarily as a result of being stubborn and not following doctor's orders, or maybe just for living life a little too hard for better than 5 decades. He was sadly deprived of his final wish, which was to be run over by a beer truck on his way to the liquor store to buy booze for a date. True to his personal style, he spent his final hours joking with medical personnel, cussing and begging for narcotics and bargaining with God to look over his loving dog Biscuit and his family. He would like to thank all, quote, his ladies, unquote, for putting up with him for the last 30 years. During his life, he excelled at anything he put his mind to. He loved to hear and tell jokes and spin tales of grand adventures he may or may not have had. Then it says he was survived by, you know, who he was. Right. And then it says, in lieu of flowers, he asks that you make a sizable purchase at your favorite watering hole, get rip-roaring drunk, and tell stories that he no longer can.
That's great. I like that. You know, one of my favorite college roommates said that when he went, what he wanted from his friends was to take him, and when I say went, I mean died.
Right.
To all the bars on Clinton Street, and to sit him up in a booth with them and have a beer for him at every bar on the Clinton Street run.
Cool. That would be interesting.
Yeah, and outside of the fact that it would be highly illegal,
right?
I thought it was a good idea, and I've always remembered it. And this one's for you.
Yeah?
You know who you are.
Well, I told Mrs. Fabulous that, you know, that I want a party. I don't want a memorial service.
Yeah. You know,
I want people to sit around. I want there to be good music in the background, a little They Might Be Giants, a little Bob Dylan, a little Neil Young.
Yeah.
You know, and I want alcohol served.
Lots of alcohol.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, that's what I want.
Well, that's a good idea. I haven't really thought a lot. I did, I guess, think a little about that, but that's not a bad idea.
Well, we've been thinking about it a lot because of Mary's, because of her losses in the last few months, and
yeah, you know. No, it's something that sooner or later creeps into everyone's mind, whether you're planning on thinking about it or not.
Sure. All right. Well, listen, we're out of time, but before we go, we're on the way out. We promised that we were going to do a What's Bugging Max and T-Fab P, and that's what we got. It's time to let people know what's bugging us. Max, this one's both for you, so go for it.
All right. The thing that's bugging me, and I'd be curious to hear from anybody else. And by the way, we don't get to mention it enough, but it's CSA Podcast. I shouldn't say we don't get to mention it enough. We could say it all night long if we wanted to. It's CSA Podcast. That's right. At gmail.com. But my company, the business that I work for, which has 15,000 people around the world, it's a $6 billion company, has a political action committee, and they promote people, candidates for the Senate and the House of Representatives. They don't actually pick a presidential candidate, which I think speaks to the point that they're obviously partisan and biased. What would you say if the political action committee that was sponsored and promoted by the business that you work for picked a slate of senatorial candidates that were entirely of one party? Now, in the House, they do give money to both parties, but I've often said the most important election that's coming up is the United States Senate, because if you get to have 60 Democrats, you get proof majority, filibuster proof majority.
Right.
So my company is advocating a slate of candidates for the United States Senate, all of whom belong to the same party. They're not allowed to promote a political party, although they are allowed to promote a political action for their own interests.
Right.
I think that this is illegal.
Where does the money come from? Let me ask you that. You don't. They don't take money from
employees. Well, they ask
you to donate. Right.
But I don't know if that's the only place the money comes from. That's a good question.
Right.
And I guess
the second question would be could you donate money and say that you don't want it to go to the Republican senatorial candidate, but that you want it to go to the Democratic
senatorial candidate? No, it goes to the Political Action Committee, and they choose to do with it what they will. But here's my question to them. And when I talked to the head of the Political Action Committee at the location where I work, one of the several that are around the world, I said, what would happen if I sent an email to the president of the company and everybody else in the company and said, I disagree with the politics of this particular individual who happens to be the president of my company. And I think that it's illegal for them to promote a slate of candidates for the Senate who are all from the same political party. And he said, be careful.
I was going to say, you know, Max, it could be that your paycheck could crater.
That's right. And I wrote that email and did not send it because while I'm stupid, I'm not fucking stupid.
I might have been born in the morning, but I wasn't born yesterday morning.
That's right.
So, as if writing you about this in an email didn't get you pissed off enough, the one you got today is even better.
Yeah, well, he said, we think that you should support President Bush in the speech he said yesterday. Now, normally I feel a general fondness for tiny-brained creatures. But in this case, not so much.
That might be the email to send, you know? Dear yeah. sirs, I understand you, you know, your recent email, but I have a lot of trouble. I don't listen to idiots. No, I think I said that in the last podcast.
Yeah.
You know, if I find out that something is coming from an idiot, I tend not to pay attention.
That's right, you did.
You know? Well, so
I have that same strain of sensibility that you do.
Well, it's very, very becoming of you, I have to admit.
Well, like it or not, it's me. And I really, really would like to send out that email to the president of the company and everybody else, all 15,000 people, and right. say, this is a fucking pile of shit.
And I guess you'll be moving out of your house and moving into that homeless shelter real soon.
I might be having a mortgage crisis. Well, that's the way it goes. I've decided to cave on my political principles and go for the groceries.
I think it's probably a smart idea.
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, buy another bottle of wine, Max, okay?
That's about all I can do at this point.
All right. Hey, listen, it was great as usual.
We had a good fun time tonight.
Write to us at csapodcast@gmail.com. Check out the website, check out the related and unrelated blogs and buy some product from Cafe Press.
Right. We have a link on the homepage, which is csapodcast@blogspot.com. Buy our stuff. And excuse me for stealing this, Preston Buttons and the Word Whore, but buy our stuff, make us rich.
Well, I hate to break this to you, but when I signed us up for it, I took the we don't get any money from this deal. But hey, look, you know, I mean, we got to start somewhere.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're not going to make any money, but it's all for charity.
Right.
Actually, well, our listeners should know that there's some not at all expensive items that you can get with a fabulous CSA logo on them.
That's right. Actually, two different logos. We have our official logo, and we now have the frequent listener logo.
You know what? I checked that out, and I didn't see it. And you're going to have to point that out to me later.
Okay, it's the one without the words.
Yeah.
It's just the beer glasses.
All right.
Anybody who listens to us knows that that's what's most important.
That's right. All right. Well, it was fun. It was real. And it was real fun.
It was real fun. Hang in there, Max. I will talk to you again soon.
Picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming off.